y'all will, just sing along with me.
Just stop 1 minute and think. Clear your mind of things. Focus on. When your healing will come, just close your eyes, see what really matters is not about me. Help us, dear Lord. Get yourself out of the way. Focus on what Jesus has done, and that's when your healing will come. Help us, dear Lord, understand your grace, so miracles can happen today. Just close your eyes and see what really matters is not about. Help us, dear Lord, understand your grace, so miracles can happen today.
I sung a song a couple Wednesdays ago, and I got a PowerPoint put together on it. It's another song I wrote. That one I just done, I wrote that. And this is a song I wrote called Surrender. I talked a little bit about it the last time I sung it. It was for a person that was going through something. But, you know, I got to thinking about more. You know, everything I write, it's always about my life. So it's something that I went through. And it's understanding that sometimes you just got to surrender. Just surrender and let God move in your life and help you when things look like it's no hope, and everybody seems like they're against you or want to lynch you or hang you or string you up or something. You know, you just got to focus on Jesus, because he's all you need.
to you.
Why am I this way? But thank God for the power of Jesus that he's still alive and well. I'm going to turn me down a little bit, Jeremy. That he can break any chain, he can restore any person, and he can make us all he wants us to be. I'm thankful for that. All right, we're going to be in our messages this Wednesday. We couldn't get in last Wednesday because the Lord just moved a different way, so I didn't get to teach my message. So tonight we will, as the Lord permits, go into this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is commonly known as the love chapter. I actually read this chapter to a wedding I did, the last wedding I did. They wanted this read at their wedding. So I read all 13 verses part of their wedding. Turn me down a little bit more, Jeremy. Their wedding ceremony. We'll talk about love, of course. Love's the greatest gift. Doesn't matter how much, the old saying, doesn't matter, you know, how much you say you care about a person, it's how much you show you care about a person that really matters. And love's a word that's thrown around a lot, right? 16-year-old kid tells a girl in the car, I love you. Yeah, sure. You know, we tell folks all the time how we love each other, but we don't really show that. Love is much more than words. Love is demonstration. Love is action. And when you really love someone, you're going to show that in the way you treat them, the way you talk to them, the way you behave. And Paul is addressing this issue because a lot of these Corinthians were too caught up in all the spiritual gifts but didn't understand the most important gift was if all these gifts are operating without love, they're no good. I mean, they're no good. Let me give you an example. I could preach a fire-burning, stormy message on Sunday mornings. I mean, man, y'all are fired up. You're amen, and you're clapping. Joe's with the chandelier swinging. He's so into it. I mean, the Holy Ghost has just moved in this place. And I shared like, yes. And I mean, it was a powerful message. And, man, you felt God and da-da-da-da-da. And, man, that was good message. Preacher shaking my hand. Man, it's a good message. I'm fired up. But what happens later in a week if, you know, I treat you bad? I call you names. I talk about you behind your back. It gets back to you. I've been talking about you. You call me. I don't return your phone calls. You know, I don't listen to you. You call me for counseling, and I say, you know, put your big boy pants on, get over it. You know, stuff like that. All of a sudden, that message I preached so good on Sunday goes away, don't it? Here's what you're thinking. What a jerk. What a jerky preacher. He can preach like nobody I've seen, but boy, he sure don't love nobody. I'm not going back. It doesn't matter what our gifts are if they're not in love. You know, it's like obligation gifts. You know, don't you hate having to get a gift for someone because you have to? The work party gifts, because you got to get them something. You got to get the boss something. You got to get the, you know, because if you don't, you'll be a Scrooge and a cheapo and all that. And so out of obligation, you, well, I better do it because I'm going to look bad if I don't. That's not much of a way of giving. But when you give out of your heart because you want to give, when you truly give, because here's what it's been like for us through the years with our kids, birthdays and, you know, Christmas and all that, we're as excited as they are. You know why? Because we love them. And we can't wait for them to open those gifts. And their face illuminates with joy when they squeal. Oh, we love it. Little girl Christian opened up a big dollhouse we got her, like a big dollhouse thing. Remember that, Melly? Oh, well, point is I was in the right category. Kitchen cooking set. 2 years old, and we got her on video camera. The old cameras you loved on your shoulders, you know, like CNN, you know, and you're going around the house like this. And so we got it recorded on VHS. Y'all young people don't know what that is, but Sam, that's tapes. Big square tapes. And so we filmed it, and we watched it here recently. We watched Christian open this present, and when she opens it up, she starts peeling it back. She sees the picture of the little kitchen set, and she squeals. Kind of how a girl snorts when she gets really, you know, excited. You know how they do that and embarrass it. She squealed. She opened it. She went, cooking. She squealed. Oh, it was worth all the credit card debt in the world. That one little squeal. So what? I got to pay on it for 8 months till it's paid off. That's okay. She squealed. And that's what counts. And so you want to give. You're excited. You can't wait. The greatest gift I ever got, ever, was my Atari 2600. The original video game system, the Atari. The last gift I opened for my birthday or Christmas, whatever it was, I tore it open and I saw it. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I could have been raptured out. You know what I'm saying? The Atari 2600, greatest gift. And you know what? My parents knew how to respond to that. And can you imagine the excitement they had waiting for me to open that up? Well, you know, that's how love is. When we truly love someone, we're as excited about them receiving what we have, you know, as they are of receiving what we give them, because it's out of love. So the Corinthians are all caught up in all this prophecy and speaking with tongues and all this stuff, which is all part of the, you know, the Christian church. But it's not the most important part of the Christian church. Because if all these things are done without love, they really don't make any difference. So here's what he says in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and I have not charity or love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. To put this in layman's terms, it's a bunch of noise with no mission, no production, just a bunch of noise that accomplishes nothing. If all I'm going to do is this, but I don't have love, it's noise that makes no difference. I picture this scene, New York City. Never been there, but I've seen it on TV. New York City, right? You have all these taxi cabs lined up in the streets. They're jam-packed down, you know, Wall Street, whatever, Manhattan. And what are they all doing? Right? Laying on horns. What is that doing? They're not moving, and all 50 cab drivers or 100 can lay on their horns at the same time, but they're not moving. It's just a sound that produces nothing. So if we have these gifts and prophecy and speaking tongues and tongues of angels, wisdom of enticing tongues of men, whatever. If all of this is done without love, it's just an unproductive noise that doesn't accomplish anything. That's what Paul was saying. Verse 2. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I'm nothing. Love is what draws people to you, and love is what draws people to Christ. It's love. The message of love, knowing that Jesus loves you, no matter what, he still loves you. May not approve of things in your life, but he sure loves you. And that love's not going to change. And when we know that when we come to God, he knows our weaknesses, and he knows our failures, and he knows our problems, but he still loves us. That's a tonic that can't be denied. That's a strong drawing power. Because when mom and daddy quit loving you, when son and daughter quit loving you, when boss man quits loving you, when the preacher quits loving you, who have you got left? You've got the one that always will love you. That is Jesus. And Paul was saying, man, if we can't love each other the way Christ loved us, we're not going to have a very effective ministry. And we see that, don't we? I mean, how much do we see that through church history, where you find more love in a bar than you find a church? You find more love on the streets than you find a house of God, because the house of God is too busy pointing out your faults and elevating their own pride and their own self and not pointing you to the love of Christ, saying, welcome, we're glad you're here. Welcome to the house of God. You're safe. No matter how you dress, how you look, what you wear, where you've been, what you've done, you're safe because you're in the house of God. See, love doesn't look at all the failures. Love doesn't look at all the mistakes. Love actually overlooks all the failures, and love overlooks all the mistakes. If you have children, I'm talking about for a natural parent. I know we're in a very whacked out, weird generation right now. But for a person that has natural love for their children, they can do nothing you quit loving them. Nothing. You can't just turn the love button off. I don't love my kids no more. Don't love them. Yeah, I don't love them no more. Don't care about them. Don't care what happens to them. No, you can lie all you want, but you do. Because that's a bond you just can't break, is you love your child. They may be a knucklehead. They may be a rebellious hellion. They may be locked up for 30 years. They may be a drug addict. They may be an alcoholic. They may be a wife beater. They may be a criminal or a thief. But you know what? You're going to love them. That's your child. Even though they're wrong and they're not living the right way, and they're, you know, but you're going to love them. You overlook all those things because all you see, now picture your child. All you see when you think of your child, whatever age they are, whether they're Hudson's age, whether they're my age, if you got a child grown or a child, a child small or a child big, picture their face. When it comes down to it, what really matters? That's my child. I'm not looking at, you may think about all the hard times they put you through. You may have some gray hair to prove it or no hair to prove it, of all the battles and all the scars you've been through. But when it comes down to it, it all goes back to, that's my little boy. That's my little girl. That's my daughter. That's my son. No matter how they've been, I can't deny the love I have for them. Love overlooks a lot of failures and a lot of mistakes. And if we will love each other the way Christ loved us, everybody's so worried about, you know, promoting, you know, other things other than love. You know, well, you know, they're big in the church doing this, and they're gifted doing this, and they can preach, they can sing, they can do this, they can do this. You know, they're skilled here, and all that's part of the church body, but without love, it don't mean nothing. Without love, it's a no effect. So that's what Paul was trying to say. I'm nothing without love. I can do nothing. I can have nothing. Now, verse 3 is interesting. I'm going to explain this after I read it. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Think about that verse a minute. You're sitting there thinking, okay, how can you give your money to the poor and your body to be killed and that not be love? Well, that could be egotism. That could be self. There are people that give stuff away to be seen. People give stuff away to be applauded and to be praised. Do stuff in the public eye to bring a glory to them and not a glory to God. So it's important to realize, just because someone gives something to the poor don't mean that they're operating in love. They could be self-motivated. Example, you ever had your kid come up to you, daughter or son, and hug you? I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. How's your day been? What you want? Mm-hmm. What you want? Well, yeah. Well, I thought. Always comes out. They're not hugging you because they really are trying to show love. They're buttering you up. They're buttering your roll. That's all they're doing. try to get something they want. See, love is not manipulative like that. Love is pure. Love doesn't try to bring manipulation into a situation, not true love. That's why the message of grace is so powerful, because when you start mixing the law with grace, you start manipulating what Jesus really did. Grace is pure. Grace is the purest form of God's love to say, you know what? I'm not holding this over your head. I'm for you, not just when you're good. When Barbara's good, I'm for. When Barbara's bad, I'm against her. No, that's not how God works. God's always for us. God's always with us, and God always loves us. God doesn't jerk that carrot of grace out from our grasp every time we make a misstep and say, yep, took it away. Okay, now you have it back. Take it away. But see, we do that to each other so many times as believers. We do it to each other. I mean, my God. You know, just because, you know, just think about it. Somebody comes out of the store and they're got a 12-pack of beer and, well, I thought they was saved. They ain't saved, man. They still drinking. I thought they done. They ain't changed none. They the same old hypocritic, drunk, alcoholic, devil-worshipping, satanistic, witchcraft, poker-playing, demon-gambling person. Okay, maybe number one, it's non-alcoholic. Maybe they got for someone else. And maybe if they did, it doesn't mean they're not saved. But we try to implement, instead of just, you know, allowing the love of God to show through in our life, ooh, the bear claws come out, and the judgment comes out, and the glances come out. And then we've lost all effect. We've lost our testimony. We've lost what we have tried to gain with that person because we stopped loving them, and we started judging them, or we started accusing them, or we started looking at them. You know, church, do any of you want a cameraman following you around 24/7? My God, I wouldn't. I've told you before, we come to my door before. We don't get a whole lot of visitors. I probably know why. I've raised 3 kids. It ain't always been quiet in our house. It ain't always been pretty in our house. You know, and I thank God that he doesn't judge me the way people judge each other. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:1, which I love this verse, to those that are in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation. To those of us who are in Christ, there's no more judgment. We've passed that judgment under wrath, and we've already obtained that eternal salvation. So, man, if God can love us that much through all of our future sins, we surely can love each other. So feeding the poor and giving yourself up don't mean it's out of love. Now, it starts getting really good here. Love suffereth long. You know what that means? Love puts up with a lot. Loves don't give up the first time you have an issue. Love, if you've been married very long, I've been married 23 years. Judge been married 50 years. Parents been married 45 years. The cooks, 40 plus years, I guess. Long time. It ain't always easy. You got to suffer long, don't you? Oh, how you got to suffer long. And you got to just, you know what? Love oversees the faults of your spouse. Love oversees the faults of each other. I'm not the same little mullet head skinny kid I was when I got married. But Mally stuck with me. As the hairs fell out, she stayed the course. As the belly grew out, she stayed the course. As the toenails wasn't clipped as a regular basis, she stayed the course. As I lost some of my Prince Charming romantic glimmer, the new car wore off, so to speak. I'm now a used jalopy, but she's still with me. A lot of miles on this 23-year-old marriage. But you know what? Love suffers long. It doesn't give up easy. When you love someone, you love something, you hang on to it. Love is kind. Love is always kind. See, what's the opposite of being kind? Being not kind, being mean, being hateful. Love's not hateful. Love is always kind. Love never should bring harm to someone's life. Love should always edify. Love should always build up. Love should never tear down. I'm not saying we don't correct something. You correct your children. You correct someone you see in an error, going in a way of error. Yes, you correct them. But you do it through love. You don't show them hate. You don't turn them out. You don't push them away and say, I'm done with you. Love is always kind. Love should always, even in rebuke, love should encourage. When I used to spank my kids, and I know y'all forgot that day, you know, they'll have a law for that soon, but, you know, used to you could spank your child. I don't say beat your child, but you used to be able to spank your child. Used to be, y'all remember paddings in school. My dad grew up in a generation where they could paddle 18-year-olds. They'd take you to the office and paddle you with a wooden stick on your hind end. Can I get amen, Tony? So, Tony's been there and done that. It's a lot different generation back then, wasn't it? So even when you spank your child, you're doing it out of love. I'm talking about when it's out of love, when it's the right way. I know there's abuse. I understand that. But I'm talking about when you see your child doing something wrong. I mean, I knew not to get in trouble at school because it'd be double worse at home. I knew. I was too scared to get in trouble at school because of my dad at home. So every time I wanted to get in, I pictured my dad's face, my dad's belt. I ain't having nothing to do with that. I might have pushed the limit, but I knew where to stop, not to cross the line most time. But love does correct, but it does it with the right attitude. It doesn't push away. It edifies. Love always, it envieth not. You know what this means? We can have desires that of each other we want. You might say, oh, you got a nice house, nice car, nice place. I'd like to have something like that one day. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But when it becomes that you are jealous and you hate they have that and you don't, you're not in love anymore. Church, we should want each other blessed. We should want each other to have what God has for us. It should be a blessing. It was a blessing when Scott got a job driving a truck. It's a blessing, you know, Don's new job. It's a blessing. It's a blessing when God promotes, when God increases, when God heals, when God touches, when God saves your child or, you know, your friend's child. He gave it. Oh, don't be jealous in a way that you hate that happened. Because, man, it's a dangerous place to be. We should want each other blessed as Christians. Love does not vaunt itself up. It is not puffed up. Love is not arrogant. Love doesn't act in an arrogant way. I'm better than you because I've got money. I'm better than you because I've got the Holy Ghost in a way you don't have the Holy Ghost. I'm better than you because I've arrived and I understand all mysteries. You know, I'm better than you because I've been a deacon 30 years and I got a gold badge to prove it. You know, I'm better than you because of where I go or because my pastor, you know, is named Dr. So-and-so and he's the man, and I'm better than you because, you know, you go to this little shabby place with 10 people and I got a cathedral with 1,000. Whatever the issue is, love doesn't build itself up to put you down. Never. Love is always a hand of kindness, compassion, and encouragement and building up. Love builds up. That's the one thing, you know, love is the one thing people cannot get away from. They can't escape it. Not when you really love them. You want to get rid of them, fight with them. You can argue all day long. They want that. But when you love them in the face of that arguing, when you stand in compassion when they're putting you down, when you bless your enemies that are persecuting you, you're heaping coals of fire upon their head, and they can't run away from that. It'll be that love that'll bring them in to say, you've got the real deal. Something in you is real. It is the love of Jesus Christ living inside of us. And that's what the world needs to see. No matter about all your gifts and preaching and what all you get, your skills. It's do they love you? I mean, Melly's a woman. Women need a man to show them security, love, strength. I could be, which I'm not, I could be the handiest man in the world as a husband. I could build, you know, I could say, you know, I could build us a dream home. I could, you know, work on the cars. I could, you know, buy her anything she wanted or anything she needed, or give her this or give her that or give her this. And I could just be everything she needed. But if I didn't love her, what's the one thing she really would want? Me to love her. I've been there. I've talked to couples. I had a particular couple years ago that the woman talked to me, Melanie, was like, you know, I've got all I need. New cars, fancy home, money I can't even spend. So the one thing I don't have is my husband don't want to really be with me. Don't really love me. He just appeases me, gives me this, gives me that. You know, I got the things in life, but I don't have the one thing I need. Love. Man, you know, Melanie told me years ago, I think she still feels this way, I hope, that she would live in a cardboard box with me if we lost everything. As long as she had me, she'd be all right. Now, she may have evolved in 23 years, and her tastes may have changed. You know how you go from Vienna sausages to filet mignon steak. You know, you graduate. I hope she's not graduated. I hope she still feels that way. That as long as I got you, James, we'll make it. And I think she does. And I feel that way about her, too. Because I know I've got her. If everything fails, I've got my wife. She loves me. Love is great. Love is wonderful. Love is deep, and it's not arrogant. You know, love is very selfless. Love gives itself away. Love doesn't hoard itself into oneself. There are people that love themselves a lot more than they love other people. I mean, You know, we're in a generation right now, what they call, y'all, if you're older people that might not know this, they're called selfies. People taking all pictures of themselves. Oh, they're in love with themselves. Look, the reason I could take selfies. I'm hot enough to make the web. That's not the problem. The problem is I just ain't into myself that much. I'm just not into myself that much. And you know, and this isn't to, if any of you do this, I'm not trying to be ugly, but there have been studies showed, wait, I shouldn't say that. Anyway, just reduce the selfies. But we are in love with that. Oh, we're in love with ourselves so much. If we could be in love with others and put other needs above our own, we would see things happen. See, as a father of three and as a husband of one, I have priorities. And Melanie will tell you through most of our years of marriage that the years that she stayed home and all the years that I've worked, that the family has always come first. The bills have been paid, and the needs of the children are first, and Melanie is first. Clothes for the kids. If I don't have them, big deal. I'm not too proud to go to Goodwill and get clothes. I don't mind that. So I'll do whatever I got to do. I want to make sure the kids have clothes. I want to make sure the bills are paid. I want to make sure we got gas in the car, things that matter. Because I love my family. It's my job to help provide for my family. Love is selfless. Love is not about oneself. Love is about others. That's what Christ did. I mean, if Christ had been selfless, he wouldn't have hung on the cross. He would have said, I'm getting out of here. This is too much. I'm not taking this. I'm not going to the cross for all these people. They ain't going to even worship me or care about me anyway. What am I doing? I'm done with this. Angels, come get me. Take me off this thing. Lord, I changed my mind, God. He stayed there. He endured that because he loved us. Pure love. Love does not behave itself unseemingly. It seeketh not her own. Once again, it's not selfish. And it's not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil. Love's not easily provoked. Love is patient. You know, you just keep on loving. When you love someone, you just keep on loving. Don't let them push you out of their life. You keep loving them. You love them, and they have no other choice but to accept your love. That's what you got to do. Love doesn't act out evil. Love has no darkness. Love is pure light. The Bible says God is love. Definition of love, God is love. And we're lacking that in this generation. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm not mistaken loving someone for accepting everything they do is a big difference. Because that's what's being twisted around among the Christian folks now is this. Well, you don't love. Y'all preach love, but all you do is judge. No, look, I'm not judging nothing. The Bible judges your lifestyle. God does that, not me. God does that. When the world's act like a fool, that's against God's word. Not that we don't love people, but you want me to say I love what you're doing? That's a big difference. I don't love what you're doing. Go ahead, daughter, son, go ahead. Sleep around with all the boys you want to, daughter. Yeah, yay, I love that. I love you, I love you. Jump here, jump there, do that. Hang around them and hang around them. Be all you want to be. Just surround yourself with all the crumb of the world because I love you. No, love says stay away from people like that. Love says don't do these things. Why? Because you see the outcome of those decisions. I mean, don't you wish you could go back in time and do a rerun, an erase button, a delete button, and undo a lot of the things that you had done? We can't. And for your kids, you're raising those two small kids, you're going to one day want to just be able to unscrew the little head and pour all the stuff in them they need to hear and put their little head back on and hit a button and say, now go. But it's not that easy. Because you'll talk and talk and talk, and they'll roll their eyes. I know. They know so much. The two words you'll hear the most, I know. Okay? I know. You can't even get to say it. But here, because I want to talk to you about the, I know. Okay, you know what? No, that's not what I was going to say. They still say, I know. But you keep talking. You keep investing. You keep sowing that seed out of love because love corrects. Love does not let a child do what they want. Love does not let your friends do what they want. Love does not let the church do what it wants. Love corrects, but with the right spirit and the right attitude. And it brings no evil, only brings light. Look at this. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in truth. Love celebrates goodness, not evil. I use the example a lot. Someone gets saved. Well, let me give you this example. Last Wednesday night was a wonderful service. If you were here, you know how wonderful it was. We prayed for people. God moved. The Spirit of God was so strong in here Wednesday night. I wonder how many folks out of this church told one other person outside the church about what happened here Wednesday night. Just wondering if anybody told anybody what they experienced here Wednesday night. My measurement gauge would probably be no, probably zero told. What if I had to announce that Melanie has left me for another man? Left a Dear John note, and she's gone. How many of you would have told that after church? Why? We love you, Pastor. Yeah, but love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, does it? Love rejoices in truth. And the truth was, God moved Wednesday night, and His Spirit was strong, and healing took place, and words of prophecy took place, and encouragement took place. That's what love should be spreading. Wow, God moved here Wednesday night. You know what God did for me? God helped me. God answered a prayer. God spoke to me. But we love. That's why we love the news. There's no good news on news, because good news don't sell. I mean, good news don't sell. They may throw a little story in. Little bear cub, panda bear, born in China Zoo. Ooh, little fuzzy story. And then that's it. Then it goes to all the murders, all the terrorism, all the adulteries, all the affairs, all the greed, all the Wall Street scandals, you know, all the pollution, all the stuff, everything negative, because that's what sells. Headline news. I mean, imagine this. Don't we love Fox News alert? Boop, boop. Oh, what? Jesus loves you. Oh, that all turn channel. That will kind of be our reaction. But boy, it's something juicy. Oh, man. We're drawn to that. But say the true love should mourn over iniquity, not rejoice in it. We should mourn over evil. We should mourn over bad news. And we should rejoice in the good news of the gospel. That's what love truly does. Next verse, Jeremy. Love beareth all things. Boy, that's a tough one, isn't it? Beareth all things. Love believeth all things. It hopeth all things. It endureth all things. You know, Joe and Sharon have been married 50 years. You don't think they ever had a rough patch in their 50 years? You think it's, oh, that's just Joe and Sharon, sweet little Joe and Sharon. They are sweet, and they're loving people. But guess what? You put any two people living in the same house 50 years, you're going to have some problems. I don't care how compatible you are. You're going to have some issues. They're not going to always see eye to eye. You're going to be grumpy one day, or they're going to be grumpy one day, or we're going to both be grumpy the same day, and that's when it's really bad. We went up to the mountains a couple years ago. Christian, she was with us, and you know, I was in a bad mood that morning. Went up to Jefferson, I think it was, and we just grouchy, both of us. Grouchy the whole way up. Christian in the back seat, bless her heart, and she's like, well, I don't know why y'all came. I mean, why y'all here? And we were just both just grouchy that day. I don't know what it was. She just rubbed off on me, I guess. But anyway, probably. So, you know what? But you know what love has done for Joe and Sharon? They've endured all things. They've endured hardships. They've endured money problems, health problems, emotional problems, kid problems. They had kids. I mean, you got kids, you got problems. I'm just, it endureth all things, and it beareth all things. And through all those years, I'm sure divorce was never even an option for Joe and Sharon. I mean, no matter how mad they got or frustrated or afraid, they said that they, oh, you know, I've said this before. I think I said it when you weren't here, Joe, but, you know, you talk to Joe about Sharon one-on-one, he's very emotional about Sharon. He loves her. I mean, he'll get teared up talking about Sharon after 50 years. He loves her. Love bears and endures all things. Love doesn't give up at the first sign of trouble. And that's what's happened with many of our marriages in this generation, is the first problem comes along, well, I'm leaving you. Really? Make it work. I understand there's situations you can't make work. I don't believe a man should beat a woman. Get out of that relationship. I know there's drug and alcohol issues and affair issues that maybe you can't work through those things. I understand that. But you don't give up just because, she's a nag. Welcome to being married. I'm just being honest. It goes with the I do. And for the women to say, well, he don't listen to me, I'm going to find me a man that listens. Good luck. Because that ain't happening either. We pretend to listen, and we listen good on the things we want to hear. But it's just how we are. We're different. So Mary's about bearing all things. Yes, she nags, and he don't listen. But you know what? I love him. He loves me. And you know, the Andy Griffith episode is the best example. Remember the man and woman fighting, throwing dishes in the kitchen, disturbing the peace? Andy brought him in, tried to reconcile that situation. had little daily practices where they'd come to the office and he'd say, well, go practice. Say, I love you, honey. I love you, honey. I love you, darling. I love you, darling. And they got along with each other fine. Wasn't throwing pans, no more disturbing the peace. But they hated everybody else. And they were mean to Otis and Floyd and Goober and Gomer. And they hated them. And he said, what is going on? Because they couldn't express their love. They expressed love by throwing pans and yelling. And that's how they loved each other. Fine. Leave it alone. To everybody their own, right? Love bears a lot of things. And love definitely endureth a lot of things. Look at this. Love never faileth. Now, this verse I want to talk about because this is a verse that many churches pick out of the Word of God to try to dismiss, prophecy and tongues for today's generation. But this verse has nothing to do with today's generation. I'll explain that. Love never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there shall be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Look at the next verse. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Next verse. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. See, I've heard that a lot from my denominational friends that, you know, they say, well, the speaking in tongues and some of the apostolical gifts, the Bible says are going to cease. You know, this is not talking about in this generation or this life. It's talking about in the life to come. Understand, we're not going to need tongues or prophecy or knowledge in the kingdom when it's fulfilled. All that's going to be done away with. These things we have now, like prophecy and prayer language and interpretation and gifts of knowledge and wisdom and healings and all the things that we experience here on the earth, that is for to get us through today. That's to help us in this walk of life. But when Jesus returns to fully establish his kingdom, then all that we knew in part is going to be done away with because we will now be complete in him. But the one thing that won't be done away with, because we won't need tongues or prophecy or wisdom or all it'll be revealed. It's like a Christmas gift under a tree. You see it sitting there for 2 weeks before Christmas, and you're looking at it, and you're shaking it, and you're thumping it, and you're weighing it, and, you know, you're measuring it, wondering what's in that box. You can guess what's in that box, and you make it say, well, it weighs about 5 pounds. I know that much. I know it's a square object. I got that much. You know, I know it's metal because I can hear it shaking. It's a metal sound, so I know that much. But you don't know what it is until you open it. Once you open that gift and see what it is, are you still shaking it? Are you still measuring it? Are you still sniffing it? Are you still looking at it? No. You know what it is. It's been revealed. So in the kingdom of God, all things will be revealed. So all the things we do here, all these gifts, they will be done away with in heaven. But the one thing that won't be is love. Love will still be carried on. Love is still the key element of the kingdom. We're still going to be walking in love and loving God and him loving us and us loving each other. That's not going to fail. Love never fails. You absolutely can love the living hell out of a person's life. I truly believe that when you love them. And don't give up on them when they are not nice back to you. Make it a challenge. We've all got that person we've worked with, either the past or right now, that one person that you know needs a lot of love. That one person you avoid. That one person you don't like. That one person that you're like, oh, God, I see your car in a parking lot. Or that one person, hey, are you going to lunch? No. You know, that one person you see coming your way, and you're like, oh, I got to use the restroom all of a sudden. And you're just trying to get there as fast as you can because you're trying to avoid them. Everyone has had that person. Let's reverse that and say, you know what, instead of running from them, being scared of them, and back-talking them and getting in a little coffee machine wagon with all the little gossiping. And, yeah, I know, boy, she's something else. Boy, she is a, you know what, I know, girl. Let me tell you. Whew, you know what she did? Oh, I tell you what, she got clawed like a cat in the mouth. Like, oh, my God. Ooh, girl, I'm telling you. Instead of doing that, why don't we love them? Pull them to the side and say, look, you're mean. And you act ugly. Why? What's going on? Let me help you. Is something going on? Marriage? I mean, you'll be surprised if you'll just open that door and say, what's going on? You don't look right today. You need to talk to somebody. That's all they're waiting on. Do you know most people that act that way, that are hateful and mean, they got a wall built up. And they're not letting you in. So they go around this wall defying. And all they need is someone, someone like a Ronald Reagan to say, tear that wall down. That's all they need. Someone to say, let me in. You can trust me. I'm safe. I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to turn on you. And church, I believe in this. As a pastor, I've learned this code of conduct for many years. As a counselor, I've learned it as well. God directs you to someone, and they open up to you. Keep that in confidence. Don't go spreading that stuff around you learn. Don't even hint about it. When someone opens up to you, you keep that with such sacredity. And you hold that they know they've got someone they can trust to come to. Because the most damage you can do, Sierra goes, talks to someone, opens up to her, spills out all of her personal issues. And then she has another girl walk up to her 3 days later. Hey, I heard about that. Man, you want to talk? What's going on? All of a sudden, her spirit's just, first of all, she's probably turning red like the devil and mad and ready to go claw that girl's eyeballs out for talking. And then when that phase goes away, she's broken. You betrayed me. People need someone to love them, and love, remember, brings no evil. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Love is kind. Love is supposed to bring healing. So you can have all the gifts you want, all the abilities you want, all the good stuff you want. You can be the greatest counselor or the greatest listener in the world. But if you don't love them, it ain't going to matter. It's all for naught. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. This verse talking about we only see a portion. We can only really see just a partial image of what is to come. We have very limited vision of what we can really see. But one day, that part's going to fade away, and I shall know even also as I am known. We're going to know all things that God has for us at that time. We don't have it all now, but we will. And the one thing that all of us can have, you may not be gifted in a lot of gifts. You may not be a people person. You may not be feel like you have anything to offer mankind. You can love them. Everybody can love somebody. Everybody can show love. And that's, I'm so proud of this ministry. Melanie posted a post the other day. We're 13 years old now. His birth 13 years ago last Sunday. And looking forward to our 15th year. We'll do a big celebration for that and have a nice 15th year celebration. But 13 years ago, we started a ministry. God started a ministry. I had nothing to do with it. I just was the wrong place at the right time. God started a ministry. And 13 years, we had promoted that one thing. Love, love, love. Joe and Sharon have been with us from the beginning. They know that. My parents have been with us from the beginning. They know that. Dee with us quite a few years, and she knows that. And, you know, and Dee has seen that experience firsthand. I know we're talking to me through some of her issues. You have seen that love that we've had, and I've had for you as a pastor. I mean, we've always promoted that, and I'm so thankful. And everyone that comes here, we have visitors, you know, most weeks we have a new person will come in, and they'll tell us that. I felt so much love. I felt so much love and acceptance there. And that's what we're supposed to promote, church. Because you know what? We can have the fanciest building. I can come out, and I know I don't have no three-piece T.D. Jakes suit on, no $1,000 suit tonight. I understand I ain't slurping and, you know, prowling around with the most gifted message tonight verbally. But you know what? All of that doesn't matter if there's no love in the building. If there's no love, there's no compassion, there's no grace. All those gifts don't mean nothing. I mean, you wouldn't want Don giving you a gift because you nagging about it all the time. Here's your gift. Enjoy it. Put it on. Wear it. Here's that diamond ring you've been with. Here. Happy birthday. Really? That's the best you can do, Don? Just take the, you know what you do with the ring, right? I mean, that's what you feel like saying. That ain't out of love. But all of a sudden, he surprised you. He comes home on Thursday from out of town, and he walks in the door with a bouquet of roses. And he drops to one knee, says, old Barbara, wherefore hath thou been, old Barbara? How I missed thee all this week. Now, we're bringing speculation up, wouldn't it? But you get the gist. That's love. Barbara be like, oh, it's not my birthday? Not my anniversary. Like I said, get past, he done something wrong. If you knew he was innocent, okay, there's no birthday, no anniversary, nobody died. What's this for? Just an I love you gift. Just an I love you gift. And those are nice. And it ain't got to be expensive. There'll be times in the store, not anymore, because Melanie's doing a little bit better. But before I'll be at the store, I'll be in the checkout line. I said, I'm going to get her a Reese's or a Snickers. I know it's only 50 cents. Well, I thought the Snickers meant something to her. Apparently it doesn't. But anyway, my point was, I'll bring her a little Snicker bar home or something, or a Reese's or just something. Yeah, I got you a little candy bar. Oh, thank you. You know, just I didn't just because I loved her. You know, I know it wasn't much money. And I've done things like that before, a little more expensive than Snickers. But my point is, it's out of love, not because I have to. She hadn't texted me, hadn't called me, get me some candy. I'm just sitting there. I'll get her one, take her home, just because she's, you know, that special. All right, last verse. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity. The three things that remain are going to be faith, because we have to have faith always, you know, faith to believe. Hope, because of hope for our future, and love. These three, they're always going to be around. But the greatest of these, the greatest gift, is love. Why did Jesus save you? Because he loved you. You were drawn to the cross by his love. Your door was knocked on because he loved you. He passed your way because he loved you. He reached his hand out because he loved you. He didn't leave you abandoned and lost in darkness because he loved you. He called you by name because he loved you. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life because he loved you. And that same love Jesus saved us with should be the same love we demonstrate to our fellow man, loving each other. Because we go, it's easy to love when things are right. Easy to love when things are going smooth. It's harder to love when things are bad. So you love. The greatest gift of all is love. All the gifts don't matter unless you love. Come on up and do our closeout song, Kevin. We'll do our offering. So take this and go back through it and read it later on and just really evaluate your life and say, am I demonstrating this love? Because it's the greatest gift that we possibly can experience and express is love. Let's pray over our offering, and after that, we'll have you come up. If you have an offering to give, we'll bring it to the offering plate as Kevin sings a closeout song. Father, we ask that you do help us with that in our lives, that people don't want to see all of our gifts and all of our abilities. They want somebody to love them. Our children need loving fathers and mothers. Lord, this world needs compassion and love and mercy and grace. Our young generation that is being raised in such a difficult time, a difficult world, that has many mixed messages, that are confused, searching for truth, searching for answers. We can yell, we can scream, we can stomp, we can tell them they're wrong, but the most effective way to win them is to love them, to show them your love, that God knows the state we're in, God knows the confused generation that we're in, that God loves them. They're not a mistake. God loves them the way they look, the way they are. God loves them. Let us show each other your love, Jesus. Not hate, not evil. There's enough of that going around. It's your love. The Bible says your love draws man to repentance. It's not your wrath. It's not even the fear of your wrath. It's your love that draws men to repentance. Give us that gift, Lord, that we operate it more and more efficiently. That we don't look at our brothers and sisters by what they have on, or the color of their skin, or what they look like, or where they come from, or what family they belong to. But God, we look at them as being one of your people, one of your seeds that you created. We're all here for a reason. We all have a purpose. You have a plan for every person upon this earth, God. We are not a mistake. We're not born out of time. Each of us are in due season right now where we're supposed to be. And let us love each other. They will see you in all that we do. We give you thanks and we give you praise. I pray for blessings on the offering tonight for that. All that is sown and given that you use it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Come give your offering.